Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We were here this morning. Don't forget the commands in order to stand blameless before the Lord. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. There you are. Those are the commands. Don't forget them. They will allow you, all right? There's Christianity simplified right down. In the midst of persecution and challenge, follow those commands, and God will help you then if you obey those to stand blameless before Him one day. We're living for tomorrow, not today, all right? Well, now, tonight, and I rejoice. I did have several folks as I was up in Watertown as they're finding out about us and so forth and finding out that this was our last Sunday. And then they found out that you were voting tonight. And I said, actually, I kind of have two messages prepared depending on how the vote goes. that's true. I had several thoughts in mind because if it had been God's will for Pastor Potter not to come, it was still God's will, and we would still need to endure and be faithful. All right. So that God has ordained, planned, put it in use that peace coming, we rejoice. But just know, folks, this is important too. And so as we come to verses 12 to 15, remember I said I'm preaching the verses backwards, which I don't like to do, but this was important for us tonight instead of this morning. Paul has just completed his explanation of the day of the Lord, and he says in verse 11, wherefore comfort one yourselves together, and what's it say there in verse 11? And edify one another, even as also ye do. They had already started that process. I had already told you about that background this morning, what the Thessalonian church had accomplished, even in a short period of time, standing alone with the Lord alone. Paul was gone. His team was gone because of persecution. Now he gives attention to what they can do to edify one another. What is it that accomplishes the growth of our lives before the Lord? Really, really important for us to pay attention to this. This is the next section then. Not only these personal commands that he gave us in verses 16 on through 22, but now, what do we do here, all right? Well, let's read, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. That's a description of your pastor. And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. What I said at the beginning of the service tonight before we were online, there was a warning. That's what I was doing. Because I cherish you and I love you and I want this church to go forward. We want to be a team. You want to be a family, all right? So warn the unruly. Don't do that. I'm not saying any of you are here tonight, just so you know. All right, please understand that. But warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward the people you like, you know, toward all men. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves in the flock, that's what he's talking about, the church, both among yourselves, and to all men. Again, many of you this morning, we've talked about this before, many of you showed kindness to my neighbor this morning that was here. Thank you. You were demonstrating that end of verse 15, ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. You were being good to him today. Keep it up. My admonition to you this morning to continue to be good neighbors is so critical for his spiritual life. Would you keep it up? All right, that's important. All right, so let's real quick. Again, this is not my norm, but let's hang in there, all right? I'm going to really race through my outline tonight with those verses in mind. Love is the work of establishing, nourishing, and cherishing a righteous relationship. Christ's love for the church is demonstrated through the love between brethren, and especially between a flock and its sheep. This love is recognizable and distinguishable from any love that's in this world. It is both benevolent, it's willful, it's sacrificial, it's exclusive, it's glorious, It's nourishing and it's binding. And most of all, it's mysterious. You can't quite explain it all because it's the work of God. Now, God has called you to love your next pastor. And that call has come to your pastor, your new pastor, to love you. What does that loving relationship of pastor and flock in a church look like, all right? Well, here's the outline as we get here from verses 12 and 13. First of all, the pastor's loving responsibility of the flock is this. Notice verse 12. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which he is to labor among you. That word labor is to work to exhaustion, to toil. He's to carry your burdens and griefs. That's his responsibility before the Lord. I trust that you'll cherish him for it, but that's his love towards you. He will labor among you. And then it goes on, labor among you and are over you in the Lord. The pastor's loving responsibility to the flock is not only to labor among you, but to preside over you, to be over you in order to protect, guard, aid, and care for all of your needs spiritually. That's his role. You say, well, wait a second, I can handle myself. No, you can't. No, can your pastor handle you? No, he needs the Lord's help. But he is the instrument in God's hand to help you in your spiritual walk. When you forsake your pastor's teaching and preaching, his counsel, you forsake one of the most amazing tools in your spiritual toolbox for your well-being. Don't do it. Listen to your pastor. Follow him. He has been given the responsibility to rule over you. He'll give an answer to the Lord. I've told you often, I fear that day. I know that I'm going to give an answer of how I've led you here. And I hope I'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You may say some kind words to me, but at the end of the day, your kind words are not, you're not my judge. God is. And I must give an account to that. So the new pastor, Pastor Potter, as he presides over you, let him. And you've done that such a well job. You are such a gracious folk. But let him, and listen to that counsel, listen to that preaching. It is that which will help you spiritually. You neglect that, you neglect your soul. Now, there's other parts to your soul's well-being, I understand, but this is a critical part. Don't miss that. So he's to labor among you, he's to preside over you, and he's to admonish you. That's the end of verse 12. It is his responsibility to warn you. Now, this designation is meant to correct while not provoking or embittering. Now, if that isn't a hard job, to correct someone without getting that person provoked and angry and embittered. There are times where, as a pastor, you say, if I can give them the word of the Lord, whether they get mad at me or not, if they were willing to follow the Lord, it doesn't matter what they think of me at the end of the day. And that's the way it's supposed to be. God needs to be followed, and so the pastor comes along as a good shepherd. We don't understand, in America, we don't understand shepherding real well. We know it by learning, not by experience. How many of you have shepherded? We got one shepherd here. There we go. Jeff's done a little bit of shepherding, all right? I hope you've done it the Eastern way, all right? They like to be led. They need to be led. At times, you know the story of a sheep who wanders. His leg is broken. You say, that's cruel. Not at the end of the day, it's not. Now it hurts in the moment. But that leg is broken so that lamb comes to love the shepherd. Because what happens is the shepherd then sets the sheep, sets the leg, and then has to carry the sheep. So the flock's out. He's literally got the sheep over his shoulders right here. While that leg is healing. And there's this bond that's established. It's just so sweet. And that's what your shepherd does for you when he warns you. It's like kind of like breaking the leg. But it's not because he hates you. It's because he loves you. And he's to admonish you so that you'll grow in the Lord. Listen. It's for your good. Take that warning in stride and don't get angry. Again, remember we saw this morning James 1. What do we do with the Word of God? Be quick to hear. Slow to speak against it. Slow to get angry about it. Same thing with the pastor's words. Now, is the pastor's words inspired? Okay. But is it Lord willing, God directed, and God given? as he's following the Lord and he gives you the word, you better sit up and listen, all right, and follow. Okay, so that's the loving relationship of the pastor's responsibility to the flock. Now, the flock has some responsibilities to their pastor. And this is verse 13. Look at it again. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and to be at peace among yourselves. Verse 12, it starts with, and brethren, know them, all right? The word know is to cherish and pay attention to. This actually the basis of the word is to see them. Frankly, his ministry among you in your own life will be far more effective if you know him. That means you spend time. You're around, you listen, not only come to the services, but get to know him outside of church. Maybe not all at once. All right? All of you back at the parsonage won't be good. All right. But don't be far or distant from your pastor. Know him. Why are you folks so cherished to Abby and I? Because you've obeyed this command. You know us. You know our downsettings. You know our uprisings. You've been with us near and far. That's a joy. And that allows for good ministry to accomplish. So your responsibility to your pastor is to know him. Don't know him from afar. Know him near. He'll give you the time. And then esteem him in love for his work's sake. Think of them in the highest regard, lovingly, because of their work, not because of their person. You see that? And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. This is what I mean by you folks showing me much grace. I am just kind of a normal Joe, normal Dave. No, I'm an abnormal Dave. Anyways, all right. And yet you've shown regard to my role because of my work, what God has called me to do. So you've been willing to look past my flaws. Thank you. Now, by God's grace, I've grown and been better at it, right? I'm a growing Christian, growing in my, so that my, like my OCD stuff doesn't bother you too much. I haven't even looked at the hangers today. Anyway, inside joke for those of you that are new. You did see me check the fan. I thought the fan wasn't blowing, so I checked the fan on the way down. All right, there we go. It's on. Thank you, Pastor Caleb. You were on ball. There you go. He's learning a few things around here. All right. Anyway, you've shown esteem for the work's sake. God will bless you, church family, as you show that to your next pastor. He's shepherding you, striving with God's help and wisdom to show you the way. Follow me as I follow Christ. Esteem him in love for his work's sake. There may be things about Pastor Potter, or heaven forbid, his wife, that just rub you a little bit wrong. Look past it. Love them for their work. And by the way, usually what happens is you get to love them and laugh at their things that rub you wrong first, just like you've done for Abby and I. Thank you. Keep that up. So, church, you're to know your pastor, you're to esteem him in love, and then be at peace among yourselves. Don't become a distraction and burden for your pastor. Be careful to demonstrate biblical love to one another. A pastor's weeks can be consumed with trying to just settle conflicts. We're all sinners. You be faithful, you work at being at peace among yourselves. And it'll bring your pastor much joy and delight. It'll keep him invigorated for the work. He won't be discouraged. He won't be feeling like he's just trying to stay alive. Now, if you have a problem, go to him. Yes, he'll be there to help you. But a lot of the problems you can handle. If you can demonstrate God's grace to another person, because God's been gracious to you, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Not because they're good people, not because you like them. You forgive, you're kind, because God has been kind to you and forgiven you. End of statement. Have a relationship like that. And guess what happens? You'll be a blessing to your pastor. So live at peace among yourselves. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Let's go on real quickly to the next two verses. Now we see the loving relationship of a pastor and flock as a body to the specific individuals among the flock. So what are we and what will you do with Pastor Potter as a church family to specific individuals in the flock? All right? Look at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. If someone is out of rank, irregular, deviating from God's prescribed order, warn them. And that's the same word we just saw up there at the end of verse 12, admonish. Come alongside, be a brother or a sister. Say, listen, my brother, listen, my sister. You're stepping out of order. You're not following God's prescribed order. Come on, let's come back. So our responsibility, church family, this is not just the pastor's role. This is given to all of us here, is to help the unruly, to warn, admonish them. You do it in love, just like it's back in verse 12. You admonish in love, but you help them. For us to ignore each other's sin is to bring ruin to our church. Did you catch that? For us to ignore each other's sin is to bring ruin to our church. Galatians chapter 6. You are your spiritual restorer. Now you say, I'm the spiritual one here. No, that's not the right attitude. A spiritual person really knows who they are. They understand their sinfulness. They understand their struggles. They admit that they're still growing. But as God allows you to come across the path of a brother or sister in Christ whose sin has become known to you, you don't go fishing. We're not spying on each other. That's wicked. That's not friends. That's not love. But when a problem arises, we'll help them. Admonish them in the Lord. If this church is going to be faithful to the Lord until he comes, this has to happen. Or eventually, you'll go your own way. You'll be divided. Man will become the center of attention instead of God. You must warn one another. He goes on. What else am I supposed to do among ourselves? So warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. The faint-hearted, the timid, or those who lack courage, we could talk about those who are discouraged. You are to bring a word of encouragement to them. It's actually, the idea is a glorious word. It's taking the glorious word of God and giving it to them. Remember, we've talked about this much. In counseling someone, it doesn't matter what your experience is. What matters is the very word of God. They need God's word. They need you to give them God's word. Comfort. Give them the glorious word. Comfort the feeble-minded. Help them to trust and obey their great God. That, at the end of the day, what is discipleship? Learning to trust and obey God. Always. Always. You trust God in every circumstance. You obey God in every circumstance. You're a disciple. And that's what we're to be doing. All right? Comfort the feeble-minded. He goes on, support the weak, those without spiritual strength, infirm, feeble. We could probably here put the word carnal. Those that are maybe young in the Lord, and it doesn't necessarily mean how many years you've been saved. We're talking about those who have not taken steps of spiritual maturity. They are weak, and you're to support them. You're to cleave to them. The work of discipleship is long-term hard labor. It just is. My years of youth ministry, and there's so many things that are coming crashing into a teenager's life as they are growing and maturing. And I am only one piece of the whole cog, of the whole gear, I guess, one piece of the whole gear that is working to try to help that teenager take steps of spiritual growth. And it's like hour upon hour, week upon week, where you're having to continue to interact, and every once in a while you would see a step of growth. It can be discouraging, but God has called us to it, and we're called to do that among ourselves. Can I put it this way? Church family, never, because God doesn't, never give up on each other spiritually. Continue to help each other grow. Support the weak. And then he goes on, be patient toward all men. Yes, show a long-spirited heart towards every man, even to the point of bravery. Yes, to all the church and beyond all the church. He says there, see that, verse 15, see that none, he goes on, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Don't retaliate. Rather, run swiftly and pursue passionately the good thing for each other and even for those beyond the walls of this church. This is what I talked about this morning when I said give grace to one another. God has been gracious to you. You should do the same. Don't render evil for evil, tit for tat. But ever follow that which is good. You say, well, I've tried to be good to this person and they're not responding. Try another good angle. It's like you keep on, all right, Lord, what can I, okay, this didn't happen. I ask my wife, maybe she probably doesn't have the number either. How many times as I've worked and ministered among you, and it's like, ah, this is not being effective. Lord, what can I do to help this person? And you ask God for wisdom, some other scripture or examples in scripture. How did they, oh, here's an idea, here's a thought. Why? Because you want to do good. You want that person to grow in the Lord. So number four and five here, these points of being patient and then not rendering evil, really go hand in hand. This is a long-term process in developing one another, but it's our responsibility to each other. Moms and dads, I know that sometimes we think, all right, get the kids out of the house, 18, and I'm done with the job. No godly parent says that. They understand that the work is sometimes still very much ongoing. It's a lifelong process. Ask my mom and dad. It's a lifelong process. And here they're coming back into my house again, taming me still some more, all right? Isn't that great? All right. How much more so should we do that among ourselves? I'm not going to have the privilege again to minister you like your pastor. That's been a joy and delight. So I will from afar, if you give me an opportunity, I'll be at you again, in a sense, but just from afar, not your pastor. But you're here. What are you going to do with each other? By God's grace, warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Don't render evil for evil. Contrary, render what is good among us and out there. And guess what will happen? This church will prosper and grow. We could continue on with the seven challenges then, but then we still come to verse 23. So let's end there tonight. Verse 23, you with me? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, the whole thing of you, every part. And that's done in the relationship of pastor and flock, and pastor and flock with the flock. That's done in your personal responsibility to the Lord, the seven commands. And the God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In many ways, my ministry is done with you. And I rue that day. But God's work is not done here. His work is not done among you. And your work with each other is not done. By God's grace, we'll stay faithful. Love your new pastor. Give him grace. If he gets out of line, call me. No. I know that you support him well. And God will help this church stay faithful to the Lord until he comes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Ah, Lord, I need some straightforward commands, and here you are. You've given them to us so clearly, so carefully. May this church family in every way be found faithful to you. Lord, I pray specifically my opportunity to bless the new pastor. Lord, would you in every way help him to be the pastor of this flock? I know that it'll grow him, it'll stretch him, it'll be something brand new, something that he'll have to utterly depend upon you for. I pray that you would help him in every way. I pray for this church family. Lord, getting a new pastor will grow them, will stretch them. I pray that you would prosper them in following their new pastor, and that your hand of blessing would be here. May we not forsake one another. May this church family, in a very real way, be about building each other up in the Lord Jesus Christ, comforting, warning, being patient, doing good. Lord, bless them. Thank you for the joy and privilege we've had to serve shoulder to shoulder, side by side. And may the work go forward. Thank you that this church is not in any way done. Thank you that you're the head of this church. And so we can, with much joy, as Paul did to his many churches, commit them to the Lord in the word of his grace, and that they will abound in it. It's in your precious name we pray.